As disgusted as Anya was with David, even she had to admit that he could whip up some pretty tasty grub. The barbecued chicken had a slick coating of thick sauce that made her mouth water. The potato salad had an interesting mix of mayonnaise and mustard that gave it a yellow hue and delivered just the slightest tang. She wiped her mouth.
Food's good, David.
Finger-licking good, huh?
You bet. Anyway, when are we going to get to this evidence of the Sasquatch? I don't know about anyone else, but I'm anxious to see it.
First, we enjoy the meal, and then we can get to business.
Joey finished his chicken and wiped his mouth.
I'm done.
Okay. It's coming, though. Probably even as we speak.
Anya's danger radar was on full alert.
Seriously, Sheriff, what the hell is going on here? Do you mean you don't have the evidence, but it's on its way? It's mobile?
Very mobile.
You've got someone helping you?
I guess you could say that.
I hate riddles like this. Better to just come out and say what you mean rather than dick around with this teasing crap.
You need to learn some manners, Joey. Besides, there's something to be said for creating an atmosphere.
Yeah, there's also something to be said for getting back to the hotel for some much-needed sleep. Just how much longer are we going to be waiting for your evidence to show up?
David grinned and checked his watch.
Any minute now. Let me clear the plates and we'll go out.
David stood and gathered up some plates and headed to the kitchen. Anya looked at Jenny.
You okay? You haven't said much.
What were you guys doing out on the porch for so long before I came outside?
You want the truth?
Of course.
Your would-be suitor made a pass at me.
Cut it out.
I hate having to tell you this, but it's true. He tried to kiss me.
Did you?
No, Jenny, I did not. In fact, I told him that you were crazy for him and that he should really open his eyes to the great woman he has in front of him.
You said that? What did he say?
I don't think he's interested, Jenny. He went so far as to suggest that the reason he got you out here was because he knew you'd contact me and I'd come out too.
I don't believe you.
And why would I lie? I'm not even attracted to him.
That's why. Because you don't like him.
Whether or not I like him has nothing to do with this. If it was up to me, I'd force him to like you just so you could stop whining about not having a boyfriend.
Jenny stopped short. Anya pursed her lips and mentally counted slowly to 10 in Greek. Joey shook his head.
Wow. You guys have some issues to work out, huh?
Shut up, Joey. This doesn't concern you.
Fortunately.
Jenny, I just want you to be happy. That's all. I don't want David for myself. Honestly. I even debated telling you the truth because I knew you might take it badly.
Maybe I should leave.
Don't. That would be a mistake.
David walked back from the kitchen and looked at the scene.
Everything okay?
Female issues, apparently.
Shut up, Joey.
Yeah, whatever. Let's get this show on the road.
Hang on your pants, kid. I'm almost done.
David grinned and picked up the rest of the plates and headed for the kitchen, but not before winking at Anya. When he was out of sight, Anya rolled her eyes, but Jenny frowned at her.
There's a surprise.
What's that supposed to mean?
You're so busy running around the world, fighting for truth, justice, and the American way, that you don't have time for a meaningful relationship. Meanwhile, I work my ass off and have little to show for it. But you, Miss TV Hotshot, you've got guys you don't even know luring you across the globe trying to get in your pants. Must be nice, must be really nice.
Is that what you think?
I'm going to use the bathroom.
Jenny got out of her chair and stalked off. Anya watched her go and then looked at Joey.
It's not like that, really.
Anya, if you think that I'm getting anywhere near this thing, you're out of your mind. I'm keeping my nose out of it. All I want to do is see this supposed evidence and get the hell out of here. No wonder I always feel so much better in the woods.
You're right.
David came back into the room and looked around.
Where's Jenny?
Bathroom. We had a little misunderstanding.
Not over me, I hope.
Shut up, David.
Well, I hope she comes back soon. The evidence should be here any minute, and I don't want any of you to miss it.
Miss it? How would we miss it?
Let's go outside. You'll be able to understand better out there.
What about Jenny?
She'll be along, I'm sure. She can figure out where we are. No, come on and see.
Joey glanced at Anya and shrugged.
Then let's go.
Anya frowned, but then walked outside after David. The darkness beyond the glow of the porch light seemed to spread off in the distance forever, an endless horizon of impenetrable shadow. David moved to stand right behind Anya. His presence made her skin crawl.
It shouldn't be long now.
Get away from me, David.
Joey glanced at her and grinned, but then went back to watching the woods.
What exactly are we waiting for here, Sheriff?
Just keep your voice down and be still. If it hears you, it won't come out of the woods.
It? You don't actually mean the Sasquatch is going to come here, do you?
I certainly do, Jenny. A few months back, I noticed some strange tracks on the periphery of my property. They weren't like anything I'd ever seen before. Of course, my skills aren't nearly what Joey's are, so I couldn't be sure of anything, really.
Well, you certainly could have asked me.
I wasn't ready to ask for any help. Anyway, I set up small feeding stations around the edge of the woods back there, and then, Jenny, you'll like this part, I started sitting out all night long, making notes of when the creature came in and for how long, what it liked to eat, what spooked it, that sort of thing.
That's pretty intriguing. Did you think to set up a night vision camera or some other method of actually capturing this thing on film for the rest of the world to see?
No, I didn't want to spook it before I was ready to, at long last, unveil this to friends. That's you guys.
I don't buy it.
Me either. How did you keep this to yourself? Most people would have busted at the seams with the urge to tell the world they've discovered the truth about the Sasquatch, and yet you kept it quiet. Why?
Guess I'm just better at keeping secrets than other people.
Well, when does the nightly entertainment start around here?
Should be right about now, if it keeps to its normal patterns. Of course, it could also be spooked by the presence of you guys.
But it's fine with you seeing it?
Well, sure. By now it's gotten used to my scent being here. I'm not a threat anymore.
And we are.
Anya, if you were a creature like this who had survived for so long by being so careful, then wouldn't you feel a little threatened if you smelled someone you hadn't before? Even someone who smells as lovely as you?
Oh, dude, please.
So what exactly are we supposed to be looking at then?
The outer border of the lights. Sometimes you can see it moving just beyond the glow. I refilled the feed bags earlier today.
What in the world did you use as bait?
Venison.
You killed a deer?
I found a dead deer by the side of the road. It was still fresh. Someone must have hit it and kept going. It wasn't spoiled and it seemed a shame to waste it, so I used it.
Anya watched the darkness. She could see very little beyond the reach of the lights, but somewhere deep down inside her, she felt something moving out there. Slowly.
I think it's out there.
Are you sure? I don't see anything.
Let your eyes go out of focus and deepen your breathing until you're more relaxed. Sense the rhythm of the woods and then you'll start to hear and see things.
I feel like I'm meditating.
You are, sort of. Now just let your awareness expand outward in concentric circles, almost like radar.
Anya went back to watching the woods. Her senses were heightened. There was definitely something moving out there. She shivered. Joey leaned his head forward.
It's here.
David snaked his head in next to Anya and Jenny.
I told you it would be here. Do you believe me now?
I can sense something out there, but I haven't seen any proof yet.
That shouldn't be long. Want to get closer?
Are you crazy?
We're not in danger. I really want Jenny to see what this thing is that I've been dying to tell her about all this time. What do you say, Jenny? Shall we get closer?
I'm in.
Well, there's no way you two are going without an escort. Joey and I will come with you.
Great. This better not turn out like the last horror movie I saw.
David led them off the porch and onto the grass. Tall weeds reached up, threatening to entangle their shoes. But David took them on a route that spared them from the thickest of the vegetation. Anya's senses were on high alert, as whatever lurked beyond the clearing moved smoothly through the woods at a slow pace. Joey stalked through the grass next to her, and she marveled at how silent he was. He was half crouched over, and his legs came up out of the grass and back into it like a stork moving through the water in search of fish. David stopped moving and pointed ahead of him. Anya saw it before the others did, and she froze. On the edge of the woods, a large shape appeared, partially obscured by branches and a tall shrub. Was this the Sasquatch? Jenny froze in her tracks and then glanced back at Anya, her eyes wide.
Oh my God, Anya! That's it!
But Anya couldn't see any detail, just a shape, and that bothered her. She started to step closer, but Joey held her arm.
What are you doing?
Getting a better look. All I see is a vague shape. That's not enough for me to become a true believer.
You're on your own, then.
Anya nodded and stalked farther on, past David and Jenny. She needed to know. She needed to see. She approached the edge of the woods. Still, the shape kept moving, and Anya could see something hanging from a tree close by. One of the feeding stations, possibly. She moved even closer, bridging the gap between the open field of David's yard and the clustered shrubs at the edge of the woods. 20 yards separated her from the thing moving around in the bushes. She slipped closer. At 10 yards, she stopped again, aware of how much she was sweating. A long time ago, someone had told her how difficult it was to move quietly and slowly. She hadn't believed it back then, but she did now. Stalking was hard work. Anya could see something clearly engaged with the feeder. What if it was a bear? It was possible, of course. And with Anya's recent luck, it would probably turn out to be the only grizzly in the area. David, Jenny, and Joey seemed so far away, even though they were perhaps 60 feet behind her. Anya felt something pierce her skin just below her heart. She looked down and then brushed her hand down the front of her shirt. She came away holding a tranquilizer dart. Wondering where Bigfoot would get a trank gun, she slipped into unconsciousness. The painful throbbing in her head forced Anya back to consciousness. Her mouth tasted foul and faintly sweet, making her wonder just what drug had been used to take her down. She opened her eyes and looked around. She was in a cave of some sort, but exactly where she had no idea. The dim, ambient light in the cave seemed to be coming from somewhere else. She wondered if it were sunlight filtering in from some crevice or opening. She couldn't be sure, but it felt as if she'd been out for the better part of several hours. That would make it coming up close to dawn. The area where the dart had struck her felt a little tender, but the wound was nothing too serious. She probably had a nice welt there. It wasn't the first time she'd been struck with a drugged dart. It probably wouldn't be the last, either. Her hands were bound tightly behind her, and movement was difficult. But at least the ropes flexed some when she moved her hands. She'd been in handcuffs before, and that was far worse. Anya tensed, expecting the worst. Instead, when she turned around, she saw Joey and Jenny. They were tied up as well. Jenny was trying to sit up, but was clearly not used to being bound.
Are you all right?
I think so. Aside from one hell of a bruised ego. That bastard David conned me, Anya. I never even noticed he was setting us up.
I got conned, too. It happens.
What happened to you? We saw you go into the bushes, and then it sounded as if you'd fallen.
As soon as I stepped in, someone shot me with a dart. I didn't see a damn thing.
I did. Don't worry, you didn't miss much. It was just a guy dressed in some kind of camouflage suit I've seen soldiers wearing before. Covered him from head to foot in strips of burlap and stuff like that.
He wore a ghillie suit?
Yeah, that's it. He came walking out, raised his gun, and shot Joey first. Then he nailed me. As I went down, I heard David telling him what a great shot it was. Jerk.
I wonder exactly who David is working with. And why the hell has he fabricated the entire existence of Bigfoot?
Sasquatch.
Good, you're awake. You okay, Joey?
Yeah. My stomach hurts a lot, though.
Did you get shot in the stomach?
Yeah.
It wears off over time.
Whoever tied these ropes did a good job.
Joey, you recognize where we are? Does it look familiar at all?
Not really. The woods are filled with caverns like this. Miles of unexplored tunnels crisscross the area. I don't know if anyone has really ever explored them, to be honest.
Maybe this is where the Sasquatch lives.
I doubt that. Last I remember reading about the Sasquatch, it doesn't wear a ghillie suit, shoot tranquilizer darts, or tie people up in secret underground caves.
This is all the sheriff's doing.
But what's the purpose of all this? Why bother getting us out here? He could have simply ignored us and done whatever he was planning on doing by himself. What does he need us for?
All I know is Dave has been a decent guy since I've known him. That's not all that long, but he's always been cool with me. This is completely out of left field. I don't get it.
None of us do. So let's hear some theories.
You think this is connected with Simpson and Baker?
Could be, I guess. Either of them could easily have a ghillie suit and tranquilizer darts.
So if they're working together, then to what end? To capture the Sasquatch? David didn't strike me as all that supportive of their mission.
Anya realized that she would have trouble summoning the sword with her hands bound behind her. Instead, she started looking around for a sharp rock to cut the ropes on and spotted an outcropping of jagged granite 10 feet away.
We need to get these ropes off.
Anya squirmed her way over to the outcropping and fought to sit up. Once she righted herself, she twisted to get the ropes binding her wrists up against the rock edge. She rubbed the small space between her hands up and down, worrying the ropes against the rocks. She felt the sharp edges bite in her flesh.
Ah, damn, I cut myself.
You okay?
Yeah, I just gotta be more careful. Joey, how long has David been the sheriff around here?
Well, I don't know, maybe 3 years or so?
Where did he come from before that? Does anyone know?
I'm the wrong guy to ask. All I know is he came, wooed everyone, and got the job.
What are you thinking, Anya?
I don't know. Maybe he was sent here for some purpose that we don't know about. Maybe this isn't the first time he's done this. Yeah, there, the rope's starting to give.
Well, whoever he is, he can't get away with it. Someone has to find out and make him pay.
Like who? State police are more than an hour away. Who would come out here in time to rescue us?
She's right. If we're gonna stop David and whatever it is he's up to, we're on our own. Unless there's anyone else we can find to help us.
Who are you thinking of?
Sheila.
From the hotel? I thought she was a nutcase.
I thought so too. But she was the one who warned me about David. That's gotta count for something, don't you think?
I guess. But how are we gonna get to her? I don't have a cell phone on me, and I doubt it would work underground anyway.
Just let me finish this and we'll work that out. If we can find some way out of here and get back to town, then we'll be all set.
Once we're out of here, I'll need a minute or two to look around and get my bearings. Once I do, I can get you two back to town as fast as you can run.
What happens if I run faster than you?
No one runs faster than me.
Did you hear that?
Anya stopped moving. Her ears strained to make out whatever it was that Jenny thought she'd heard.
I didn't hear anything.
I could have sworn I heard something.
Keep your ears open. If you think someone's coming, tell me. We'll need the element of surprise if they do come in here to check on us.
You know, there's something vaguely familiar about this place.
You've been here before?
No, not really. Just something seems really familiar. I just can't place it.
Well, hurry up. I can still hear it.
What's it sound like?
Almost like a snore, but really constant. I can't explain it properly.
Joey's eyes widened, and he struggled to get to his feet.
That's not a snore she heard!
What do you mean?
Joey stumbled to his feet, but bumped his head on the low ceiling and sank back down.
You okay? Joey, what the hell are you talking about?
There's a huge river that runs through the back part of the forest. It's really swollen this time of the year. The dam 50 miles away releases some water every few months, and it adds to the volume. A lot!
But shouldn't that just concern the river? How's it gonna affect us?
The river runs underground as well. What Jenny heard is the oncoming water. If we stay in this cave, it'll smash us against the rocks, and we'll drown! Or be cut to pieces!
Anya glanced at the cavern opening. Now she heard the roar. She worked the ropes frantically against the rock behind her. Jenny looked at her, frightened.
Anya?
Give me a second.
We don't have a second. That water's gonna be here any moment, and if we're not free, we'll die.
Anya broke through the final binding, holding her hands together.
Finally.
She closed her eyes.
Wow.
Anya opened her eyes, stepped behind Jenny, and cut her ropes loose. Jenny rubbed her wrists.
Thanks.
Joey turned around. Anya cut his ropes and then released the sword to the other wearer.
Oh.
Joey jumped up and hit his head again, then fell over.
Help me, Jenny!
Anya grabbed Joey and pulled him upright. He shook his head and steadied himself.
We gotta hurry!
If there's light in here, we ought to be able to get out. That way, right?
Depends on the light source. It could just be a narrow slice in the rock that we can't get through. We've gotta find a way out that we can all fit through.
I'm not that much of a swimmer.
You're about to change all that. Try to hold your breath for as long as you can. Joey and I will help you.
Anya, I'm really sorry for the things I said to you.
Forget it. Let's just concentrate on getting out of here alive.
It's coming!
Get into the pocket over there.
Anya pointed at a small depression in the rocks. Joey got in first, and then Jenny and Anya rounded themselves into the depression.
Hold on!
Joey disengaged from them and swam off under the water, looking for a way out. He waved Anya over to where he saw light filtering in through the frigid water. In the distance, Anya could see an opening. Bright sunlight cut through the water. She grabbed Jenny and pointed the direction they would be swimming. Jenny nodded and Anya locked their hands together, both women swimming in tandem. Joey was already halfway toward the opening, using his strong legs to power himself through the water. Anya had to pump twice as hard, as Jenny's fear and the cold temperatures seemed to paralyze her. Joey took a quick glance back, nodded, and then swam through the opening up into the light. Anya followed in his wake, pulling Jenny until they both were into the opening as well. A strong current immediately grabbed them and pulled them through. Anya could barely hold on to Jenny's hands, but Jenny's grip stayed panic-tight. Far ahead, Anya could see Joey spinning through the maelstrom, and then up toward the surface and even brighter light. Jenny started jerking around, the fear of drowning making her panic. Anya brutally gripped her hand and yanked her along as she kicked her feet as hard as she could. They broke through to the open air.
Hold on!
They were in the rapids, and rocks rose out of the water, threatening to cut them to ribbons. The river slung them around the rocks and then beyond. The water was deep and cold, but at least they could breathe.
Anya! Come on!
Anya managed to see Joey through the spray, kicking his way to the shore. She pulled on Jenny's hand.
Kick, Jenny! We're almost there!
The two women struggled against the current, but managed to get to shallower water and get their feet underneath them. They hauled out of the freezing river and collapsed next to Joey, who lay on the wet sand.
Oh, jeez!
We made it.
I'm freezing.
No, we need a fire and quick. We'll die from hypothermia if we don't get out of these wet clothes.
Joey nodded and rolled slowly to his feet, shaking some of the water off.
I'll get the wood. Give me a second. At least the sun's coming up.
Come on, Jenny, you need to get out of your clothes.
What about Joey?
What about him? He needs to get warm too.
But he'll see us naked.
We can't care about that now. If we don't get warm, we'll die. All of us.
Fine. But I'm only stripping down to my underwear.
That's fine.
Joey came back with a bundle of wood. Anya could tell from the way he was walking that the cold had affected him badly.
I just need a minute to get it going.
You sure you can do it?
Like one of the tests my grandfather set up for me in the winter. Trying to stay warm.
Joey used one of his shoelaces tied to a stick to set up a bow drill. On a relatively flat piece of dry wood, he dropped some shreds of grass and bark, then put the tip of the bow drill stick in it. He worked the bow furiously, and within 30 seconds, smoke started to rise from the loose wood. Then sparks and a small tongue of flame licked out. Joey grinned.
Fire.
Anya helped him feed twigs and sticks into the fire, building it into a raging blast of heat.
Get your clothes off, pal. You've got to get warm. Us too, Jenny.
He nodded and yanked off his wet jeans, followed by his shirt. He didn't seem the least bit fazed by the sight of Anya and Jenny stripping to their underwear. After a few minutes, Anya could feel the heat returning to her bones. She and Jenny draped the clothes nearby. Fortunately, Joey had found enough wood that the fire soon had their clothes steaming and drying in the sunlight. Jenny looked a bit worse for wear. It was the second time in as many days that she'd been exposed to the threat of hypothermia. And nearly drowning in the freezing water hadn't helped boost her morale, either. As they stood warming themselves by the fire, she turned to Anya.
Is this what your life is usually like?
More or less.
How in the world do you put up with it?
It's not really a question of putting up with it. I don't have any control, so there's not a lot I can do except hold on tight and see where life takes me.
I'll take my stuffy old existence at the university any day of the week.
I don't blame you. Sometimes I could do without the hypothermia, nearly drowning, gun battles, knife fights, crazed fanatics, and various other things that seem to conspire to kill me on a regular basis.
You forgot about the sword. What about that?
I don't know about that, Joey. It's all part of the learning process. I'm never sure where it'll take me or why. I'm not even sure of all it can and can't do.
The clothes are almost done drying.
Good. Once they're dry, we can get dressed and head back to town. We need to find Sheila and see if we can figure out exactly what's happening around here.
It took just under an hour for them to completely dry out and feel strong enough to move on.
Joey, how close are we to town?
3 miles as the crow flies. Not that far. We can cover it in an hour or so.
And then lead the way. The sooner we get to Sheila, the sooner she can tell us what's going on.
You really think she knows? And if she does, why haven't they silenced her yet? I mean, she's implicating David. I wouldn't think he'd put up with that.
If he killed her, then maybe he thinks that would make people assume Sheila was right. He can't afford to have the townspeople suspect that he's a bad guy. But if he brushes Sheila off as a nut, then no one will ever believe her.
Except us.
Exactly.
Joey led them down a slope that looked mostly overgrown. He picked his way down the trail as if he'd walked it 1,000 times, which, Anya reflected, he probably had.
This isn't one of the trails used by hikers, is it?
Nope. This is used by some of the larger animals in the area. It's not really a trail, just a large run.
It leads toward town?
In the general direction. I haven't led you guys wrong yet, have I?
Not yet. Just don't start, okay?
Sure.
How are you feeling, Anya?
Okay. Kind of tired. Why?
It just occurred to me. You got blown up not too long ago.
This hasn't been a picnic for you either, and you're still moving.
Yeah, barely. Not like you. Does that sword provide you with more than just a handy-dandy weapon?
Well, yeah, I do seem to heal quickly. I've also found it gives me a lot of strength, agility, reflexes, that kind of thing.
Anya glanced over her shoulder at Jenny. She struggled uncertainly down the path, frowning at the ground in front of her. Anya paused, allowing her to catch up. Jenny shuffled to a stop at Anya's side, looking so forlorn that Anya couldn't help but link arms with her to help her along as they continued down the trail.
Look, Jenny, we've obviously determined that David is a scumbag. I know you're disappointed, and I can't tell you how sorry I am about that. But I promise you that a good guy, the one that will make you as happy as you deserve to be, will come along sooner or later.
Maybe I'll just have to wait until Joey turns 18.
I heard that!
Oh no, did I say that out loud?
How are we doing, Joey?
You tell me. You're the one who got blown up.
I got blown up, but I'm not down.
Right. You need to stop or not.
I'm fine. Just keep us on track, okay?
You got it.
The hour passed more quickly than Anya would have thought. Joey led them down the animal run toward a smaller pond and then circled around that to a larger trail. He stopped them at that point and held a finger to his lips.
We're on the main trail now. I can't guarantee we won't run into Dave and company. If they're out looking for us, this is where they'll be.
Why would they be looking for us? They probably think we drowned like rats in that cavern.
True. Dave would have known that the dam was scheduled to let some of its water reserves out, but they're still going to be out here in the woods, doing whatever it is they were planning to do in the first place. There's a chance we might run into them.
Is there a quick route back to town that's also off the beaten path?
I can move us quick, but it might be tiring for you.
We don't have a choice. Just do what you've got to do and get us back to town.
All right.
Joey pushed them hard. Anya found the trail fairly easygoing at first, but it soon gave way to rougher terrain and larger boulders that had to be sidestepped, or else she would risk spraining an ankle. Jenny had trouble too, but managed to keep going pretty well. Only Joey sailed over the trail with ease, leading them down the side of one of the mountains, then stopping by a cluster of pines. Something about the area felt familiar to Anya.
Have we been here before?
Yeah, we have. I'm impressed. It was dark the first time. Here's the plan. We're close to the main road, probably not far from where you guys ran into Dave. There's a trail that runs alongside part of the main road.
We took that into town after the truck exploded.
Right. We're gonna stay on that until we reach the bridge and then peel off on a side trail that very few people know about. It's one I use to skirt the street and avoid being seen.
You do that often?
Only when I need to.
And you can get us to the hotel that way?
Right up to the back of the building. At that point, we can plan our next move.
Sounds good.
We'll need to move across the road fast and get down to the trail on the other side, okay?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Anya and Jenny followed him back through the woods. As soon as Anya felt asphalt under her feet, she sprinted across the road, followed by Joey and Jenny. On the other side, they barreled down the hill and into the cover on the trail, where they stopped to regroup. Not soon enough for Anya. Sword or no sword, she was beginning to run out of gas.
You okay, Anya?
Keep going.
Jenny?
Yeah, go.
People know about this trail. If at any time I think we're going to run into someone, I'll take us off the trail until it's safe, okay?
Let's go. I think Anya needs a rest.
It won't be long now. Maybe a mile.
Just do it.
Joey led them down the trail. Anya found herself remembering the lay of it now that she'd traveled it twice. But earlier yesterday, she'd been burnt and dirty and exhausted from nearly having been crushed by David's truck. Now, she felt queasy and foggy at the same time. Her face felt hot and sweaty. Her heart thundered in her chest. Joey led them up to the footbridge and then veered to the right. A large rhododendron bush blocked their path, but he pushed through it. Anya followed Jenny and then saw a smaller animal run in front of them. Thorny bushes poked out into the run, making travel difficult. But 20 yards farther on, it suddenly got easier. Joey stopped and motioned them to squat nearby.
I planted those to help discourage anyone else from using the trail. Now that we're close to town, make sure you keep your voice down. You'd be surprised how many conversations I've heard lurking back here, hiding from people in town.
You were spying on them?
No. They were being noisy, and I was just listening.
Joey winked once and then moved on, the women following. Anya felt like her legs were starting to melt. Each step seemed to sink into the ground and get harder to pull back out. The run sloped up, and then Anya saw the roof of the hotel over the top of the trees. The hotel. She almost smiled. If they could just get to Sheila.
Anya?
Jenny peered into her face. Anya blinked, wondering why Jenny looked so strange and blurry. Anya tried to take another step, but then collapsed.
Anya!
Anya drifted aimlessly, slowly spinning over and over, but not fast enough to make her feel ill. She had no real sensation of which way was up anyhow. Her limbs felt numb. She couldn't hear anything. She couldn't see anything. Had she taxed her system to the point that she had just switched off? Had the truck explosion, the day of trekking, being ambushed, nearly being drowned, and having to swim both herself and Jenny to safety prior to another long hike, simply been too much? Anya smiled, or at least she thought she smiled. The thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to. Even with a magic sword at her disposal, she was still just human. She felt comforted, though she couldn't explain why. A thought occurred to her, and she didn't like it. What if she didn't wake up? What if no one could get her back? Was it possible that she was dead? If she was supposed to stay there until she was rested, then what in the world were Jenny and Joey thinking? She imagined Jenny freaking, trying to figure out what was wrong. Anya felt a small measure of relief that both of them had seen the sword. If they hadn't, they might just think Anya was dead and have her carted off to the morgue for an autopsy.
Anya!
A jolt went through her, and she winced and clamped her eyes shut. When she opened them again, Jenny's face hovered over hers.
Anya.
All right, take it easy, will you?
Anya tried to sit up, but found her body was still somewhat like jelly.
Easy, Anya.
She felt Joey's arms under her back, and then she was propped up into a sitting position. Joey looked at her.
You okay?
I think so.
Jesus, you scared the hell out of us.
Out of you? I knew she'd be okay.
Oh, sure you did, you big liar. Anya, what happened to you?
I don't know. I was looking at the hotel, and then I tried to take another step, and I just couldn't do it. I went down and kept going straight into... I don't know where.
Your physical body has been taxed to its limits, and your spirit took over to protect you. Very interesting.
I thought we'd lost you, Anya.
I didn't do it deliberately, Jenny. Where are we?
Still on the trail behind the hotel. We should get going.
How long was I out?
A few minutes.
Anya stretched. She felt as if she'd spent a long day napping in her apartment in Brooklyn, surrounded by a plush comforter and the throw pillows she liked to keep on her couch.
Wow.
You look rested.
I actually feel really good.
Nice you could take a nap and all. I'm tired, too, but you don't see me lying down on the job.
Well, after I had to save your butt from certain death, I figured I deserved it. Help me up, will you?
Jenny pulled her to her feet, and Anya brushed her pants off.
Thanks.
Ow!
Anya put a hand to her face and felt the tender area by her cheek.
Yeah, Jenny slapped you across the face pretty hard.
Was that really necessary?
I was worried. And besides, you know you would have done the exact same thing to me if you were in my position.
Oh, I don't know. Why don't I just knock you out and test that theory?
Ladies, can we just get to the hotel? The sooner we hook up with Sheila, the better.
I owe you one, Curly.
I'll keep that in mind, Mo. Nyak, nyak, nyak.
Joey led them closer to the hotel. Anya felt much stronger. Her muscles responded well. She could feel the energy coursing through her veins now like liquid heat. Joey paused and motioned them to stop.
This is it. We follow this path up, and there's a back door we can access that leads right into the kitchen. If Tom's in there, we can get his attention, and he'll bring Sheila to us.
Okay, let's do it.
Jenny followed Joey up the slope, and Anya came next. She glanced left, then right, but their approach was well concealed. They scurried up to the back door, and then paused.
All right, give me a second to get in there and check things out.
How are you going to do that without Tom seeing you?
Jenny, No one sees me if I don't want them to. Tom won't notice me until I'm ready.
Joey nodded at Anya and then eased himself through the screened back door and vanished inside. Jenny glanced at Anya.
What do you think?
He'll do fine.
Not that, about you. Are you really okay now?
I'm actually feeling great. Wherever I was, it really gave me some of my strength back.
Well, good. The way things are going, we're gonna need it.
I'm gonna need it. If things go bad, you take care of Joey and let me handle the bad guys, okay?
You won't get an argument from me on that one. What's taking him so long?
He's probably just checking things out is all. Give him another minute and then we'll take a closer look.
I don't like it. What if David was in there and grabbed him? They could be waiting for us right now. Or they could be coming around the back here.
Calm down. There's no way Joey would give us up.
Unless he happened to be one of them. I mean, we have to consider it, right?
No, we don't. Joey's not with anyone but himself and the forest.
The screen door slid open and Joey appeared. He came down the steps and squatted next to them.
Tom's in the kitchen, but just as I was going to say something to him, someone came in. I waited, but didn't get a chance.
So what now?
I guess we take a chance and head on inside.
Just like that? We're not even going to see if it's all clear?
I did the best I could. We'll just have to risk it.
Okay. I'll lead the way this time.
Anya rose on her haunches and stalked up the back steps. She slowly opened the screen door and slipped inside as Joey held it. Inside the kitchen, shelves lined with all sorts of foodstuffs loomed over them as they kept close to the ground. She peered around the stainless steel cabinet and spotted Sheila. A wave of relief washed over her. All she had to do was stand and call to her. Anya held her hand out behind her to signal Joey and Jenny to hold their positions. Then she paused. Something strange was going on.
I don't care if you don't want to make it. I said just do it.
And then Sheila spun and marched out of the kitchen through the swinging door that led to the dining room. That exchange didn't sound like the Sheila she'd met, Anya thought. What was that all about? She peeked around the corner, but Tom's back was to her. Good. She darted out from her hiding spot and raced to the swinging doors. Small porthole windows were cut into each door. Anya rose and looked through one of them. Out in the dining room, she saw a surprising scene. Sheila sat at a table nursing a cup of coffee. Across from her, holding her hand, was David. Anya pulled back from the window in shock.
Hey!
She wheeled around and found herself staring at Tom. He looked her up and down and frowned.
Aren't you one of the girls who came in here yesterday?
Anya, yes.
What are you doing here in the kitchen? You look like you're sneaking around.
You wouldn't believe it if I told you.
Try me.
I thought you were married to Sheila.
Unfortunately, yes. That's true. What about it?
Aren't you a bit upset that the sheriff is holding her hand right now?
Is that all he's doing? Then it's a pleasant change from the way things normally are.
What do you mean?
Tom turned and went back to working the grill.
Those two can't keep their hands off each other. Ever since they hooked up, I'm invisible until they want something.
Like what?
It usually has to do with what Dave wants to eat. Apparently what's on the menu isn't good enough for him anymore. Now Sheila wants me to make things I haven't cooked in years. All that foo-foo stuff that has no place being served in a joint like this.
David's got expensive tastes.
And ever since he started globe hopping. Nobody knows how he does it on his salary, but the town council treasurer can't find any money gone missing, so we don't think he's robbing us blind.
So where's he getting it all then?
Don't know. But ever since he gave Sheila a little present one time, she hasn't been able to stop falling all over him. Literally, if you know what I mean.
You could just divorce her. Did you ever think of that?
Yeah, sure, I guess. But who's going to want a guy like me? I'm a grill jockey at a backwater hotel in the middle of nowhere. No wonder Sheila fell for Dave. Even though he lives here, he travels and he can take her places and give her stuff I never could.
When did they start hooking up?
About a year back, right after he came back from someplace abroad. He said Europe, but I thought he went north to Canada for some reason.
Why?
Kind of slipped one time and mentioned he'd once seen parts of British Columbia. Seemed odd to me since I'd never heard him talk about Canada before. But I think he's been there. A lot.
Anya frowned. If David was getting money from somewhere other than the town, then he had to either have something of value or be doing something that made him money. But what?
Anya!
Anya turned and saw Jenny waving her over.
You got more friends back there?
Yeah. This is Jenny.
Hi. Anya, What's going on?
Sheila and David are in the dining room, huddling like lovers.
Tom paused and looked down at the grill.
Sorry.
Don't matter. I know it as much as anyone in town. It just took longer to admit it to myself.
Poor thing, to have a wife do that to you?
They're here for lunch. He wants some of that nouveau cuisine I was telling you about. She says if it's not good, Dave will shoot me.
He can't do that.
Why not? Everyone in town knows that something's going on. They don't like messing with him at all. Nice guy on the outside, but if you cross him, he's mean as hell.
You don't say. Looks like your sheriff might just need to be replaced.
No one around here has the guts to run against him. Last guy who did went missing. Now most folks have either moved away or stay up in their homes unless there's no choice but to come down for supplies or something.
This is crazy. We've got to do something.
Joey slipped past the three adults and snuck a peek through the door window.
Wow, that's quite a kiss.
Joey.
Oh, hell. I have to face facts. Nice to see you again, Joe.
Hey, Tom. Sorry we had to sneak in like this.
I'm glad for the company. What brings you in this way, anyhow?
Dave tried to kill us last night.
All of you?
Shot us with tranquilizer darts, and then stowed us in the underground cavern up by the river.
They flushed the dam earlier today.
Yeah, we found out.
In a big way.
Rather abruptly.
Don't that guy have any kind of morals?
Pretty sure he doesn't. But he's gotta be working with somebody. Someone else pulled the trigger last night, not him.
Tom, does Sheila know how to shoot?
Most women in these parts do. It's always good to know how to use a shotgun in case a bear gets too nosy.
And Sheila?
Better than most, I'd say. She grew up in the Southwest before coming north with her mom a long time back. She told me her daddy used to teach her how to handle a gun when she was a kid.
Jenny, I think we just found our trigger man. Tom, you said she's been gone a lot lately?
Been gone a lot ever since the two of them started carrying on together. I don't know whether she's at his house or just out somewhere else with him. She doesn't exactly come home and give me all the gory details, if you get my meaning.
I wonder what they're up to. It's got to be something that has the potential for a lot of money.
We could just stroll out there and ask them.
Are you high? I don't know about you, but I'm too young to die.
You could stay here. That way, in case we get into trouble, you come in with the cavalry.
Great choice of words, Kimo Sabe.
Sorry.
Look, if that's how you two want to play this, be my guest. Tom and I will stay here and watch from a distance.
What do you think, Jenny?
At this point, I'm honestly so confused about everything. I don't really care what we do, provided we have a fair chance of going home safe and sound when this is all done.
I don't think that will be a problem now.
Then let's do it.
Anya pushed through the swinging doors and headed straight for the table. Sheila and David turned at almost the same time, the shock of seeing her clearly registering on both their faces. David started to pull his hand off the table toward his holster. Anya leapt forward and slammed the side of her hand down on David's wrist.
You bitch! You broke my wrist!
What the hell?
Jenny stepped forward.
Oh,
that's for lying to us.
David cradled his gun hand.
Oh, well, you're supposed to be dead!
It would be if you hadn't screwed it up.
I tied those ropes tight, damn it. They must have had help.
You're a real piece of work, David. Not only are you a loathsome scumbag, but you'd kill a kid as easily as draw a breath.
Joey would have told someone. I couldn't take the chance. He had to go just like you two.
Anya leaned forward and put her face inches from David's.
And all that sweet talk last night on your porch? About how you lured me out here through Jenny? What was that all about?
Whatever it takes, babe.
Anya straightened, but could see her comment had hit the mark. Sheila didn't look happy.
Your man here has a libido as big as all outdoors, doesn't he, Sheila?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't you? You think you're the only woman he's stringing along? He's probably got a dozen more like you in Canada.
David, tell her that's not true.
It's not. There's only you, babe.
Oh, please.
Don't listen to her. She's just trying to get you upset so you'll turn on me.
So, David, what's going on here anyway? We're all tired of guessing.
You haven't figured it out?
We've got you contacting Jenny, but for what reason I can't fathom. Simpson and Baker are intent on capturing Bigfoot. And then there's you two running some kind of illegal operation here and trying to get us all killed. I can't connect the dots, so why don't you do it for me?
Why would I make your life easier?
Anya smiled, and then leaned forward, grabbed his wrist, and squeezed. Anya twisted the wrist a little more.
Oh, you bitch!
Wow, you're right, it is broken. I guess I just don't know my own strength sometimes, huh?
Oh, stop it! Oh, you're killing me!
Not until you tell me what you two are cooking up around here.
Oh, ask Sheila!
Why would I do that?
Because she's in charge of the entire thing, that's why!
Anya frowned and looked at Sheila, but she shook her head.
He's crazy from the pain. I don't know what he's talking about.
She does, you have to believe me. I'm not the one who knows everything, she is. They are.
They?
Of course, I couldn't pull this off without their help. You've got to believe me.
Who are they?
God, are you really so stupid? Tom, him and Sheila are running this show, not me.
But Tom just told us.
Anya and Jenny turned around. Tom stood there, leveling a mean-looking Mossberg pump action on them. He smiled.
I guess you might as well stop torturing that poor man.
You sure don't look brokenhearted anymore.
Time heals all wounds. Isn't that what they say?
Some people say that, yeah.
Now, slowly get on up, stand over by that wall on the far side of the room. Think it's about time we all had ourselves a nice little chat.
Anya edged over to the wall and Jenny followed.
Where is Joey?
He's been taken care of.
You killed him?
I gave him a rap on the head and he's likely got a concussion. He won't be a problem for a while. Eventually, though, we're gonna have to make a decision about what to do with him.
He's just a kid.
He's a pain in the ass! Just like that damn wolf of his before I shot him.
David got up from the table and cradled his wrist as he walked over to Tom.
You got any bandages or something? I'm going to have to get this thing set down in Maynard at the clinic.
You
going to
leave now?
What would you suggest I do? I can't handle my gun if my hand's useless.
You won't be able to handle it anyway once you get a cast on it.
So just kill them all now and be done with it.
If you'd done your job properly, they'd already be dead and we'd be finished with this thing.
Like I told Sheila, I did my best. They must have somehow gotten help to get free. I made sure that the tranquilizer drug you shot them with was strong enough to knock them out cold.
You shot us last night?
I suppose I might as well come clean about that. Name's Tom Slackmore, former Marine sniper. At your service.
That explains the ghillie suit.
What do you know about ghillie suits?
Another Marine sniper taught me about them. He also taught me a lot about courage and honor and dedication to his job. All those traits seem to be absent in you.
Yeah, maybe you're right. I served my country, and my country forgot about me. I got wounded in a little war no one ever wanted to know about, so they kicked me out, and I wound up in this dump with nothing to show for all my hard work. You think honor's something special? It's not. At the end of the day, it doesn't get you a damn thing except a flag on your casket when you die.
Touching. I'm sure that'll go over real well with the judge and jury when you're brought up on charges.
And who exactly is going to do that?
Day's not over yet.
God, this damn thing's killing me!
Tom frowned at David, then glanced at Sheila.
Get his gun.
Hey, what?
Relax. No sense in you having it if you can't even use it, right?
Sheila unholstered the automatic pistol and slid it into her waistband.
Didn't I tell you David was going to be trouble?
We needed him. How else could we bring this stuff in?
Yeah, well, he's a liability now.
Sweating, David looked from Tom to Sheila.
Wait!
No!
The shot took David clean off his feet. He fell over backward and lay there in a spreading pool of blood.
Tom! What did you do that for? You knew I liked him!
You never did have good taste in men.
You just killed a cop. And I believe Oregon has the death penalty.
What difference does it make? By the time anyone finds out, we'll be long gone. They can chase us all they want, but they'll never find us. Not with what we've got.
Sheila, you could stop this right now. Just shoot him and be done with the whole thing. Jenny and I will back you up. We'll tell the authorities that it was all his plan. That you were just a hapless wife who got herself mixed up in something she couldn't control.
Hapless wife. That's a good one.
You can do it, Sheila. Just shoot him now and set us free. Come on, we can call in the state police.
I can't do that! Tom's my brother.
We only pretended to be husband and wife in public and helped create the illusion we needed.
For what?
God, you're dense.
Well, I've been a little preoccupied the last few days, trying to stay alive and all.
And you wouldn't have succeeded if dead genius boy over there hadn't screwed up. We won't make the same mistake.
So what is so important that you have to murder innocent people to cover it up?
Drugs. D-R-U-G-S. Drugs. Lots of drugs. We bring them in from Canada through the woods and hold them in the underground cavern you saw earlier today. You know, the one you should have died in. Then, every few weeks, we have a visitor come in to stock the hotel kitchen. He brings us supplies, takes the drugs, and leaves us a great deal of money. That is what is worth killing for.
And what about Simpson and Baker? What are they, your hired muscle?
I have no idea what those two idiots are doing here. Don't really care, either.
They're here to trap Bigfoot, Ellen says.
Bigfoot? Now that is funny.
Why? Why is that funny?
Tom closed his eyes and tilted his head back for a moment, then smiled condescendingly at Jenny.
Sweetie pie, there is no Bigfoot.
There isn't?
No. But we like to keep the legend alive. It draws stupid tourists who spend stupid tourist dollars and discourages developers who might interfere with our main business.
Jenny looked like she was going to cry. Anya wanted to scream at her to forget the damn Bigfoot and concentrate on getting out of there alive, but managed to restrain herself.
What are you going to do with David's body?
You two are going to drag him into the back in case someone happens to wander by.
There's a lot of blood on the wall and the floor.
Uh-huh. You and your friend are going to clean that up, too.
And if we refuse?
I have a big gun.
I was under the impression you were just going to kill us anyway.
Yes, I could do that. But if you behave and make yourself useful, I just might change my mind.
Anya glanced at Jenny, who now looked like she was 2 seconds away from fainting. But they walked over to David's leaking corpse. Anya reached down and got her hands under his armpits and pulled. Jenny turned aside.
Hurry up. Drag him in the back.
Jenny huddled near a table as Anya dragged David's body into the kitchen. The corpse left a trail of blood behind, staining the floor a brownish red. Anya found herself perversely grateful that dead bodies were nothing new to her. At least she hadn't killed this one. Once Anya had gotten the body wedged by the shelves, Tom gestured with the shotgun.
That's good enough. Just leave him there.
The smell's eventually gonna alert everyone in town.
Don't matter. We'll be gone after tonight.
Cops don't let cop killers go. They'll find you.
I don't think so. Now, get the sponges and bucket from under the sink. Fill it with hot water and follow me back outside.
Anya leaned under the sink. Tom kept the shotgun trained on her. If she tried to pull the sword out, she'd risk taking all that buckshot in the face. She got the sponges and tipped the bucket under the sink, running hot water into it. She'd never cleaned up after a corpse before, and it wasn't something she was looking forward to doing. Through the propped open door, she watched Sheila go to the front door and put the closed sign in place on the window. She pulled the blinds and then turned and smiled.
So we won't be disturbed.
Anya shut the water off and heaved the bucket out of the sink, dumping the sponges into it. Tom gestured at her, and she hauled the bucket back out to the dining room and set it down by Jenny. They shared a grim look before each fished out a sponge and got down on their hands and knees, scrubbing the floor.
Keep it together. I don't want to clean up any more than necessary here.
Jenny leaned into the scrubbing, her hands already red with David's blood.
What are we going to do?
I just need a second when Tom isn't looking at us, and then we'll make our move.
Less talking, more scrubbing.
Anya frowned. There wasn't much time left. She hoped Joey had gone for reinforcements. Otherwise, Anya would have to handle two gun-wielding drug runners by herself.